The text for our message this morning is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, what kind of persecution have you faced in your life because you're a Christian? Can you think of anything specific? Might be difficult to do. Think of how blessed we are in this country to be able to believe and teach openly what we do without interference from our government. A few years ago, I was talking with a seminary student in India, and he'd like us to come and visit his church. But right now, he says it's not safe for us to go. There are two other Christian churches in his village, but most of the villagers are not Christians. In fact, they're very much anti-Christian. This man had to pay fees to send his children to the public schools because he and his wife refused to sign a paper stating that they were Hindus. That's illegal, but no one will stop the practice. The police have come to his church during services simply because a neighbor called and complained. They haven't done anything really except disrupt the service, but this man lives among people who hate him. His wife died suddenly not long ago, and his own health isn't very good. But he still takes care of his congregation. He still travels many miles, some of them on foot, to attend classes. And by the way, he's about 70 years old. He has many troubles in his life, and he faces persecution daily, but he still holds on to his faith. In the lives of every Christian, all of us, there are troubles and there will be persecution. Each of us have faced and will continue to face many problems in our lives. But the persecution we might face in our society is probably very different from what you would see in India or somewhere else. It takes many different forms. Christians aren't charged illegal tuition. You might question how much it costs here, but it's not illegal. The police don't come and disturb our services. Instead, the teachings of the Bible, such as creation, are mocked and criticized. And the Christian faith is made out to be just another religion among many that are equally valid. Certainly not the only way to heaven. Go to the comments section at the bottom of a website with even a vaguely religious story, and you'll see the mocking, the criticism, and the unbelief quite clearly. One comment I read recently said that unless you were beaten and tortured, you couldn't call it persecution. And the next commenter then volunteered to beat and torture anyone who believed in Christ. Now, some of those things are, of course, people being stupid, but some of them really mean what they say. One of the best strategies in a war is to make the enemy think you don't exist or you're not able to harm them, and that's what Satan is doing right now. According to popular thinking, Satan is not supposed to exist. People scoff at the idea of an evil power trying to take possession of your soul. Our world has made it easy for Satan to win the battle for souls. If you don't believe he exists, if you don't believe there's a hell, what do you have to be afraid of? Why do you need a savior? You can do anything you want to. And the beliefs of the Christian church then become irrelevant. The effort by popular culture to make Bible teachings irrelevant is one of the biggest persecutions we face today, often because it's disguised as thoughtful or scientific or even religious. But the truth, God's truth, is still the truth, and it does not change. God warns us many times throughout the Bible there are many people, many things that will try to tear our faith away from us. As Christians, we face a lot of different spiritual trials in our lives. And one of the biggest trials we face sometimes is doubt. We're assaulted by all kinds of things that tempt us to doubt what we believe. Outside the church, we're taught that the things like creation can't be true. We're taught to believe that we're in complete control of our own lives, that we can do what we want to do, that there's no absolute truth, no black and white, that everything is relative. And when all of these things are taken away, when there's no longer any truth to believe in, when heaven and hell no longer exist in people's minds, what's left? Our society is wandering around in a spiritual vacuum that can affect the faith and threaten it, even the faith of a strong Christian. That doubt can sometimes lead to fear. Does God really exist? Is what I believe true? Is there a heaven and hell? And how do I know for sure? Doubt can also lead to something that I think is even worse than fear. It may lead us to apathy, just not caring. When we stop caring about what we believe in and stop defending it, when we give in to popular ideas instead of standing firmly on the truth, on God's word, we've given Satan a victory. And when the final trial that all of us will face, death, comes, will we be able to stand up to it in faith? Or will we only face it in fear? When a war ends, there are usually some soldiers that are still fighting each other, usually because they haven't heard that the war is over, that peace has been declared. Then many more lose their lives in those little battles. But as Christians, we don't have that excuse. We have the guarantee from God that the war is over. The war for our souls is over, but Satan keeps fighting, refusing to give up, hoping that a few more or many more will lose their eternal lives. The Apostle Paul writes at the beginning of our text, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" We may be tempted as Christians to see the fight for our souls as an even contest, that maybe along the way we have to give God a little help. But the fight between the absolute goodness of God and the absolute evil of Satan is not an even match. It's like a man armed with a knife going up against a battalion of tanks. It's only when we leave the protection of God through our own sin and unbelief that we put ourselves in spiritual danger. We fear death because of the unknowns. We know that we'll all die, but we don't know when. We don't know how. We may fear life also because of the unknowns. What will happen in the future? Will I get a good job when I graduate? Where will I live? Will I stay healthy? Will I be taken care of when I need to be? What does the future hold for me? And that can be scary to think about. Until we remember that all things are in God's hands. All things that happen in our lives are according to God's will. And he promises that they work out for our good in the end. We're freely given all things, Paul says, by God's grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil, and everything that tries to take us away from our faith. Jesus won the war by living a perfect life, the perfect life that we can't live in our place. He won the war by sacrificing his own life on the cross for our sins, also that we can have eternal life in his name. And nothing in the universe has the power to take that away. So although Satan keeps fighting, trying to take us away from God, the war is over. God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the strength to keep fighting for our own faith, to resist the temptations and the doubts that creep in. And if you read on in this text, we're told that we are conquerors in Christ and that nothing can separate us from his love. Amen.